friends. So I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, and I start with verse 14. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And we are thinking this morning about in this parable about the best life most miss. The very best life most people miss. And this is sad, and yet it is the common fact. Sa abrobona eye panwa bebre eshri. They miss it. And unfortunately, even today it gets worse and worse. Unfortunately, people are really even from our preachings from various pulpits are made to think that if they got some of the best things in this material world, then they are blessed or so. Something like this. Well, of course, you would realize this is not so at all. And so what is that best life, and how do people miss it? What caused the missing of it? Yeni abreboa eso eye papa pano aden tin an krofo ehwere die na mo hwere en esey yan, my dear friends, because these are wonderful things. You know that our Lord liked to speak much in parables, and he tells us one of the purposes in Matthew chapter 13. He tells us that he tells parables so that it would take the person who is truly keen, so that you want to listen, you want to ponder, you want to weigh, and then he would teach you, so that he will not let his precious truth be disregarded. People will not treat it lightly. Iradi sinchi ba kuntia okbu otabu beni said of a sin no question the ehu hiam krofo no question who hiam akosi said obia obu na de kitwano ontumi ntiasi. Inti Iradi eyo obu be said ebeya ni opese otiasi no beki no we care na what down that would trim afira de better chen no we to me. And so parables are precious, but it requires us to think. Friends, I really want to say a little about those. Now, what are the things that are most dear to you, friends? What are the things that are most important to you, can I ask you? What are the things that you want to give the prime mind, the prime thought? Friends, they show who you are. The kind of things you give your prime thought portray who you are. This is what Proverbs meant when it says, as a man thinks, so he is. He's talking about his prime mind, his most driving thinking. And Jimish attached in the trim, and no sorry up and then they can be the trim now. Oh no pano. But tresediote, it portrays the state of the person's heart. And so the Savior, by parables, would want to get our thoughts and get it as the very first thing and as the most important thing. Oh, friends, think about the weighty matters. Think about the things that endure. Think about things that go on that are most important both in this world and in the world to come. These are the things the Savior speaks much about, and it is found in some of these parables. So, the best life we miss, and it is here. I will go through this parable, and then I wouldn't finish it all. Almost to the close of it, I would begin to apply, tell us what it means and how it speaks to us, and then complete from there. So we'll follow through that simple procedure. For verse 14 again, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his own goods. Our Lord often in his parables weaves so much into it that are so beautiful, so that they are very instructive. Or And so the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in the far country who called his own servants. It's important to mark this. The servants are his. They're not borrowed. He didn't simply employ them. These are not employees. They are his own servants. In those days, he would have even bought with his own money. And so they belonged entirely to him. It's important because it lets you appreciate the parable even more. And delivered unto them his goods. It is not their money set aside somewhere that now he gives it to them. It is his own money. His own servants, his own property, his own money. And so, Otukano, a friend on one Kasanu Kwa, if you crown on one, you can only cut on one. Now, if it's on one in Yoma, Nordima, Sa Enkwai. Now, verse 15. And one, beg your pardon, unto one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway, took his journey. This man knows his servants very well. He knows every one of them and knows the capability of every one of them. When in the Nukunina will be a bit to me, I am about talent to the 5, I'm about 2, I'm about. Now, the value of that talent, of a talent, depends on where you are. Talent is not actually money, it's a way of weighing things, a kind of a measuring system. And so, depending on where you are, 1 talent in some places is an ordinary laborer's 20 years pay. And so this is a lot of money to be given to these persons. If it's a talent of gold, for example, that would be so much. If it's a talent of silver, of course, it will be expensive, but a little lower. It's a talent of bronze, it will be further lower in value. But we do not know whether it was gold or silver. We are given the weight system. And so this is still a lot of things, a lot of money to reckon with. Now verse 16. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. What is interesting is that these servants, nobody told them to trade with their talents. They saw that that was the point. What's the essence of our master simply entrusting us with his money and then saying, keep it, when I come, I'm coming to ask for it? What's the sense? They saw through it. So they were wise, can't you see? Who's the Ponomian answer for? Into the talent more, Roman Shedam Kasamu Fanko di Jampo. Oh, Ankasa, no one who yet. The same thing to the person who got the 2 in verse 17, and likewise he that had received 2, he also gained 2 more. Verse 18. And he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. You see how the Lord is stressing this? His Lord's money. It wasn't his own money. It is his Lord's. He had no liberty to do as he wanted with it. Onisa Fahudieno, Sultan Obey decided the opposite. It is his Lord's money. And the surprising thing is, this man digged the ground and hid it. He would think, that's better than misspending it. What if I went to squander it? Say, me kosese I can wear. Okay, me koseno. I'm a kind. So many question from. And so, probably, he would have calmed his own conscience by what seeing the better option. Verse 20. And so he that, I beg your pardon, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. After a long time, the Lord finally came. And so, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained 5, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. The servant comes with excitement. We see that in that word, behold, he comes. And he has a 2 sacks in his hand. Well, I don't know how he handled it. Probably one at his back and said, sir, this is a 5 you gave me, isn't it? Hey, look at it. This is a 5 more. This is a 5. I've doubled your money. Look at how much I've traded and how I've labored. Behold, I've made five more. The excitement and joy of usefulness, of fruitfulness, of industry, of hard work in spiritual things, the Savior is stressing. I'll speak about that. Acquire Odika, Aquana Odika, you know, or the Nisikano Bae, or the five normal demand on extra, and the five Usawinya, Akamo, San and your Tosumi and Nusia. But look at how the Lord spoke in verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. We see the heart of this master. This is a kind master. He's a wealthy master. His wealth hasn't spoiled him. He's such a kind master. So that they did a small work, he gives them so much, far more than they deserved, because he said it to them, that have been faithful over a few things, and you make a crown, why in the crown? And so, mama, why a ruler over many things? But why a ruler when you make a brain? So, a ruler from a servant to a ruler, an exaltation. The man exalts the servant. So this man must be a great man indeed. A man is a senior yakwan, a feed of a barbeye, a chef, your share, and your mother brain, so. And this is honor. And it's not even enough. Look at the passage. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The kind of pleasures I have, I invite you now to be a partaker with me. And so that if the Lord is used to sitting in the very nice garden, enjoying the fragrance of the flowers, and maybe having a cool water, and having his friends and children around him, enjoying all this kind of thing, he invites the servant to say, come, enter into that joy with me. Come and be a participant of this joy. This is a kind master. You're running to Eyepa. Say, Obama, of course, say, now, or say, oh, Michelle, no, I mean, you know, be. And then, yeah, or the man, my dear friends, he said the same thing to the second one, who are the two talents also. But, my dear friends, what did the Savior mean by all this? What did he mean? Surely, this is one of the most graphic pictures of the best life. Because he begins like this. The Savior means this. It is God who has given to every one of us our gifts, our opportunities, our health, our time, whatever God is giving unto us, or whatever we possess that gives us some advantage, has come from the Lord. He gave it to us. He gave it according to his wisdom. He decided how much everybody will need. It is absolutely foolish to desire that of others. He decided what opportunities I will have, you would have in this life. And nowadays people think that, well, every one of us should have the same things. No, friend, that is not God's design. And you're saying, Yanko Pomboni, we are saying, so be a benya at the chronoa. In fact, that's not his design. If a part of the reason why he permitted, because part of the inequality is because of human selfishness, that's for sure. And he said, Ninja, and maybe I say, if you want to be praising, if you want to, But at the very fundamental, right after the fall, the Lord permitted that this will be a world where advantages and privileges will not be the same. Will it hurt us? Will it hurt anybody? If somebody had a lesser, small opportunities, will it hurt him? Oh, friends, no! God is designed so that in the most important things in life, nobody has a disadvantage. In the most important things in life, no one has a disadvantage unless you do not know what the most important thing is. But let me give an illustration. You may be surprised. Now, Supposing somebody is, permit me please, I do not want to offend your feelings, but supposing you're a very, very beautiful young lady. And well, these days, to be a very beautiful young lady means a lot of things, doesn't it? Maybe the media houses will call you, the Actors Guild or whatever, all of them will be calling you. And it seems, well, my beauty, my appearances is a great boost for me. But if you knew the most important things in life, I tell you sometimes, perhaps you will beg God, oh God, perhaps my beauty is a bit of an inconvenience. Are you surprised? Why? Because perhaps it lures me too much. It makes me too much foolish. It makes me an easy target. And things like those. Oh, no, God didn't make a mistake. The reason why he did it that way, I will turn to a apostle. We don't often do that in the gospel service. So that everybody will realize his need of a savior. Whatever situation he casts you, you would say, oh, yes, this provision, this advantage gives me this and this and this. But I recognize that unless the Savior saves me and gives me a new heart, it will really trip me down. It will actually turn me into a fool. It will ruin my whole life. Oh, how I need the Savior. How I need him to change me and to bless me. See, infants will be in here or iradimana hofe. What is the papa? And so, sonim de winya pano. Nche du babya, obi punese se, and when it disadvantage, se wuna faswa emwa. A wuna no be swing iradis se iradim pesrel. Umi mobro. And yes, sir, we are fachidi impo. Ebe ami. Unless you see the most important thing, you see God's wisdom, everyone has the advantage not only of your constitution or your privileges, but even your circumstances. Even the city radio castle circumstances. I had a pastor friend years ago. He never liked being a Ghanaian. Are you like that? Oh, in the seminary, you often complain. What is it like to be a Ghanaian? I really wish you'd be naming the countries. If I were a citizen there, do you wish that? Ah, friends. Again, if you miss the most important thing in life, these things are attractive. But God insists, even cast your circumstances as it is, so that you may be able to seek the most important thing. Do you say, well, I cannot become a Christian, oh Lord, because you know, I'm too poor. I really can't afford a square meal. So if I were just a little better, I think I'll be the number one worshipper. You're a liar. You don't know what you are saying. And you're no crap. Because, well, he that made you has cast you in that condition, he says, in this state. You will, if you want, find the most important thing. Let me read you that passage. Friends, we do not do this. In Acts chapter 17, this is Apostle Paul speaking at Athens. And listen to him. And he was speaking to a mixture of ordinary persons and philosophers. And so it was quite a strong thought for them. Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. And heart is referring to God. Let me start from 24, just to make it clearer for you, please. God, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So you know he's talking about God, isn't it? Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And this is the point, 26-27. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed, the times how long everyone will be living and the nations will exist, and the bounds of their habitation, where our borders will be. And so he's determined where each one of us will dwell. What is his purpose? 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Do you see that? This is the grandest purpose. Everybody, in spite of your circumstances, can seek him. And this is the essence of the talent. So I tell you that channel, you go pa mobia. Or no one measure, well maybe 5, 2, whatever, but in his wisdom he says, I am the Lord, I made you, I know who you are, I gave you that kind of mind, and I say, if I gave you only one, that's what will help you to seek and find me. If I gave you two, that is what will help you seek and find me. So at the end of the day, everyone, no one will have an excuse before God. Don't you see his wisdom, my dear friends? And we want to urge you, every condition you are in, don't say, it must change before I seek the Lord. Don't do that. Oh, me TBS is saying, the answer is answer. My baby didn't change. How many nowadays are, I've spoken with people like this before. A young lady, or young man, I've met this before in Cape Coast, and it's a very simple relationship. And you tell him, well, I want to, would you seek the Lord and come to him? Would you repent? And you say, well, I know the kind of things I'm in now. If only I would have a marriage, then I think I would seek the Lord. And then I'll be such a settled person, no troubles with all this manner of things. Well, of course, don't believe yourself. It's not true. God says, you can turn out from the sin and seek him. And find him. He knows it. And he has power enough to give and to bless you with. Don't rely on any excuse. It's not true. Seek him and come to him. So, back to our parable. Look at what these wise servants did. Verse 20. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought out the 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. My dear friends, I don't know whether you'll be able to appreciate. You know, sometimes I think of some of the persons with the most difficult disadvantages in life. Think of a really hopeless case of a cripple. And years ago, there was unfortunately, it was a worldly musician, and he was. We don't know why. I was trying to get involved into all this thing, but he was a cripple. He'd be standing with the 2 clutches within. All we heard was, well, he's going to kill himself because life seems so purposeless. Why is he a cripple? That was the question he was asking. Look at everybody with 2 legs walking freely. Look at me. Ah, friend. You see, if you don't take your eyes off this world's definition of life, you have reason to kill yourself. If you just lift up your eyes and see, why did that God allow a world like this? And then by and by, you remember that even your disadvantage affords you a wonderful advantage. Some of you have heard the story of that Christian. She was a Christian, of course, but it happened before she was. You know, the musician, Christian songwriter, Fanny Crosby, who became blind around the age of 6. And when she grew up, people would go to him and tell what after they have conversations with her, they would tell her, Fanny, I think you are in a great disadvantage. You can't see all the nice world around. Look at all the beautiful flowers and all the greenery everywhere. And then he said, oh, I think you are at a disadvantage, rather. I don't see you, so they don't attract me. So I can keep my heart for God. You have to have an eye higher. If you want to see why God put me here, why this purpose, then my dear friend, nothing will discourage you. They will rather push you to say, then I need the Lord. I need to come to Him. I need my life to come for Him. I want to offer this life to Him and live for Him. And this is what these others did. They took their time. Yes, they were many. And they labored and they worked so hard and they were rewarded. So it is. He that takes whatever his circumstances says and say, it should help me seek the Lord. It should bring me to God who made me. I want Him. I want to know Him. I know I'm a sinner, cast off from Him. But He sent a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the only Savior of the world. I come to Him and I yield to Him this life, bad and wretched as it is. I yield that to Him. He gave it. He gave me my life. I have ruined it, made it wretched. But He invites me to yield it back to Him. Would you not do that, my dear friends? This is the purpose. This is the thing that makes life truly peaceful. If you discover it and enter into it. So this is the life people miss. To number one, discover God's purpose. That is a higher, nobler purpose. It is to seek and find Him. And my life to become fruitful for Him. My life to count for Him. And my dear friends, I wish I can say more, but look at the master's words, because they are so rich. Verse 21, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, because what have they done? Dear no moye, why not the capital no mao? Who gave them the capital? Have they done anything wonderful? Oh no, really? If the master had not given them the capital of 5 talents and 2 talents, what would they have done? Nothing. But this is a kind Lord. He's such a kind Lord. And so is the Lord Jesus Christ. You yield this life to Him. You give it to Him, a wretched life. He takes it. He washes you. And He changes you, gives you a new heart. And makes you useful in His service, in His worship, in things that have to do with Him. You become useful to Him. What have you done for Him? Who gave you the new life? Who made you His? Who made you able, capable of spiritual duties? It's Him. And yet He says, I will reward you. I will reward you. Friend, there's no kind master like Him. Obi anti se radi Yesu Kristo menia odi obeshishen na ohunu sabani fetchen odi mano ne fufuye no odi maye na fi opesen nkwa edi ni miam shebre radi Yesu Kristo ye fetashi wane nsemu die and so say obi tia henka. And that's what He does here. And the description of the reward is so beautiful. I want to just dwell a little on that, and then we'll get to the other servant. Listen to verse 22 again. I beg your pardon, 21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. What an honor. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, when we repent of our sins and trust Him, when we come and yield our lives to Him, He doesn't call us servants. We call ourselves servants, and it is proper we do so. But He calls us friends and brothers. Is that not amazing, my dear friends, that I am a brother of the Lord of glory, and I'm a friend of such a Lord of the universe to serve such a friend? The Sion Copon at downfall. It so overwhelms us. The Son of Thauridian Unquano. Munyam Quabio. Maybe Mamoso. No Maya Shafo. over my things in heaven. We will rule with the Savior. What does that mean? Do you know the Bible says that if we repent of our sins and sought Him, trusted in what He did on Calvary when He shed His precious blood for needy sinners, we are brought to be united with Him. We are one with Him always. And so He regards us every time that on that day, on the day of judgment, we will be judging with Him. You know what that means? It means simply this: we will not be the ones to be carrying out the judgment. He will. But we'll do it with Him because we will be the only ones who will agree with Him. Of course, the other people will be against Him. They will agree to the justice of it, but they won't like it. But us will be the ones who, whenever He's pronounced a judgment on any soul, we will bow and worship and say, "Thy judgments are just, O Lord," and worship Him for that. We will be sitting with Him, and we will rule over the new world, because the world will be as paradise, where everything will be under us and under our rule. Now the Savior Himself will be the prominent one we will know and enjoy through all eternity, but will be allowed to explore the new world also, the world responding to us exactly as we wanted it to. Well, what an exaltation. And this is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Give me that wretched life, the sin ruined life. Yield it. Turn. I'm not asking you," the Savior says, "I'm not asking you to try and change it yourself, because you can't. You can't change yourself. Only you come to Him with grief and sorrow. You yield that wretched life to Him and beg Him, 'Oh Lord, receive me and cleanse me,' trusting what He did on Calvary. There alone He bore the punishment for sin, for everyone who repents, so that His righteousness may be given to the sinner." That is what the Savior did there for us. That is why we trust Him only. Look at another part of the blessing. It's so rich. "I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of my Lord." Enter into the very joys of the Savior. Can you conceive of that? In everlasting realms, we will enter into the Savior's own joy and pleasure. And even now on earth, we have a foretaste of it. Ask any genuine Christian, ask any truly praying Christian, whether he has not tasted that before. It is nothing compared to the everlasting one. But to enter into such a joy that is in the heart of the Savior only, a joy that you can say nothing in this world can ever give you, a joy that suddenly minimizes the importance of everything earthly, shrivels them into their real sizes, and they seem so paltry, so small, for them to engage your heart and mind. They seem as they are, only earthly things, because we tasted something nobler, something higher. Even in this world, we are given a foretaste. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This is heavenly joy. I remember Jesus Christ said, "Mima sumjie na mede mamu enye di via sedima." It's a huge difference between the two. His peace and that of the world. This is the Savior, friends. This is the life God has purposed. He says, number one, don't worry about your circumstances. Don't say, "I think I'm disadvantaged. I think I don't have this. I think I suffer too much from this illness. I think I have this trouble too much. I think life has been against me." No, don't begin there. Start this way. "In spite of whatever my case is, good or bad, happy or unhappy, why did God allow this so?" And the answer is that in that condition, you can seek Him and find Him. And you'll be brought into such a joy of the Savior, your disadvantages will not hurt that much. Your disadvantages will all contribute to greater advantages, every one of them. Yield our life to Him. Turn to Him. The most dangerous thing is that life of sin and of continuing in sin and disobedience, rebelling against God, hardening your heart against it. That's the most dangerous thing, because it keeps God away. He cannot look upon you. He cannot bless you. You come to Him, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Him alone is there forgiveness of sins and a new heart. Let's go to the other servant, the third servant, and we close. So let's begin from verse 24 now. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. This man has actually never been a servant. Even though he lives in that man's house as a servant, I think he's a boss in himself. And so he's never taken it upon himself to actually serve his Lord. He's actually been a fault-finding servant, spotting all manner of things he can complain about. Sorry. Now, he doesn't have basis for that, but this is his own imagination. Now, my dear friends, if people, and this is why we pity those who are not Christians, allow the imagination a free range, and it's terrible. You can imagine all manner of things. What a blessing it is to have even your imaginations contained by Scripture, by what God has said. You say, I don't allow my imaginations a free range about life. I only think about life only as God has said it. It's the safest, it's the wisest, it's the most secure. You open it up. The idea today is, through the help of internet, open it. Any question, Google, isn't it? Who has a misadvia? Who do you Google? And then the answers you get there, you pick up. Oh, I really fear for young persons. The kind of answers that pour in. And he has no way to seal them out. And you have an evil heart. It will very quickly connect with an idea pouring in that suits you. Will that be safe or not? No, you don't know. What a blessing it is to have imaginations regulated by the mind of God, your Creator. Your boy and Kasan Oshawa Jinso. No way to me, I dreamy baby, I said, don't work. Nyo wuna wuma wajini freedom. Kasa niyo pebi yongi ni onka fadina hubia. Na sana kweye waka. Nito notifye hono. Onyaku wawo. Oni na juni chinchini. Oshe niyo mahrut. Niyo mekoso ahro ninyina. And on one many interpretation over them. So this is his interpretation of what he said the man doing. The way the man takes his decisions. He is sitting back and what he's asking, now, is this the way his decisions must be taken? No, he's not asking. He's like, well, this is how I understand. That's the way the man is. This is why he's doing this. But he's now a lord of himself now. And he isn't afraid even to talk about it right in the presence of the master. But we can't master on his name. So he's actually not only a bad servant, he's become boldly bad. So that he has a double problem. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Did you really know him? That thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast no sown, and gathering where thou hast not. In other words, you are not fair. Even when you don't have anything that you say, go and get it for me. So you are so unfair, and in fact, even a cheat. He's only calling him a cheat in a nice form. Verse 25, and I was afraid, you see, he is saying it nicely concerning himself. The master is so bad, he is the most cautious, careful, thoughtful person. He was afraid. What drove him to do what he did? Well, he has weighed the matter and considered the man and from a real fear. Not rebellion, not pride, nothing like that. Only fear kept him, drove him to do that. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. I don't want trouble. I only wanted to keep your money safe. So when you come, I give your money to you. Please, here is your money. One talent, I've kept it on the ground for how many years now? I don't know, but here you are. Please take your money. Let me have my peace. You also have your peace. Case closed. But the Lord said, and the Lord shows him that he is wiser. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful son, you call yourself afraid. The problem is not that you are afraid. The problem is that you have an evil heart. You are wicked. You are selfish. You never considered your master. He gave you. He has been the one who's taking care of you all this while. And at this point, giving you his wealth. And you never cared about him. You are so selfish and wicked. Not only that, thou wicked and slothful servant, you are also lazy. You don't want to do anything. Friends, do you know something we call spiritual laziness? He's lazy even to think about things of his soul. Lazy. Forgive me, Makosku. And so me akwa draws a Bible way no ebi damin chen. Me mi amin kain kakra. We call that spiritual laziness. And people think they have an excuse for that. Why don't you go to church? You know his answer. No, the churches are too many. And all of them are saying all kinds of things. When you go, it's all about money, money, money. So me, I've decided never to go to any church again. Case closed. I finished. I'll stay in my house and then I'll read my Bible. You actually won't read the Bible. It's not true, I'm sure. If you read the Bible at home, the Bible would have told him to go to church. So he wouldn't read it, actually. So this is an excuse. I heard a man that said that, oh, the whole thing has become a politics of religion. This is saying it's me, so it's me. And so I've decided, okay, if it is A, B, C, I don't know how to choose. I just ignore them. And the question we put to them is this. If you were a business person, and you've met some crooks in business, would you stop business? You keep looking. You keep looking. If you've been to a doctor, a few of them, and they disappointed you, do you say, well, let me lie in my house and die by my illness? Have you heard anybody say that? No, you keep seeking. Simply because I am lazy, I think it's an excuse. There are too many charlatans there, as I've simply shut out the case. No, you can't. Because of God promises, if you truly desire to find him, as I mentioned at the beginning, if your circumstances have made you to say, oh, how I need the Lord, oh, how I may know him and come to him, God will have sent you a help. It's a promise. Sele wa kondo pa se wo person ne radi ti radi di mwa be bra. E radi ani be pray. The problem is I am lazy and I want to pump up this wicked heart with excuses. Me wa kmo ye boni so person me jiji no so. It me mama wo excuses and don't do that, friends, because it will cost us dearly. God will prove us to be so unwise. And that we cannot have any excuse at all before him. So look at it, the master says more. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not. You say I'm a wicked person, okay, but you have an option. Why didn't you choose that option? The option is this. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury. If you've been just a little thoughtful and said, this is my master's money, you say, okay, let me just go and put it at the bank. By the time he returns, some little interest would have come upon that and gave it back to you. You were simply selfish. You never thought of your master. You never thought of his will or his mind. You only wanted to pamper your evil heart with laziness. And so, this is your portion, verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And this is the most crucial sentence, 29. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Does the passage does not really bother you? Because he seems to say something that doesn't seem to be real. Read it again. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Simple explanation is simply this. He that hath this and hath put it to good use, like the servant, he will be rewarded. So here he is. Apart from the fact that he was given 5 and labored for 5 more, his Lord adds a reward. He that comes and what was given to him has never labored because of laziness, so he has nothing to show for it. He will not be rewarded, number one. What he even has as the capital will also be taken because it's useless. So not only that, so we simply say, the unbeliever, you will not only not receive any reward from the Lord, but you will be punished also for having wasted your life. You will not simply say, it's my life. If I didn't produce anything, it's okay. It's okay. You let me go my way. You call me a fool. I'm going my way. That's okay. No. It's more like recent law. It's recent in Ghana, I'm sure you know, that they are now saying that the CEO of the failed banks will not only be let go, allowed to go, but they will be prosecuted. So they don't simply say, oh, I had my money and started my bank. If it's collapsed, let me go my way. The laws are now saying, no, you won't go your way. We'll also prosecute you for having allowed that bank to fail because you have hurt others in that. So we are not only going to say we won't be rewarded, so the Lord's punishment at the final, the hell, will not simply be a place where we will not enjoy God's blessing. We will actually be punished also. So that when people think, oh, hell will become another place of abode for the rest of us who were rebellious, so we'll have all our dirty music playing there. It will be dirty, but we'll be enjoying it there. We'll be looking into heaven. We'll see that the heavenly one is wonderful. It's wonderful. We wish we were there, but okay, if we couldn't go there, come on, let's enjoy our dirty music here. This is our portion here. The Bible says, no. Because the gifts that you turn it upside down to produce that dirty music will be taken away from you. So you don't even have any capacity at all. The one who was a good singer would not know even how to begin to sing. Because the one who gave the gift would take it. The one who knows what something to perform, either for entertainment or whatever, will have it taken away from him. So you will not only not be rewarded, whatever gifts you were given, whatever capacities, the Lord who gave it will take it away from you. And it will be a life of utter, utter meaninglessness and punishment also. You cannot let your mind go around that, my dear friend. This is missing the very best of life, to know the Lord. And to let your life count for him. That's the very best life, friend. I urge you, my dear friend. You know, I sometimes think of it, and I say that, is it partly because, does it happen more when you are growing older? And you begin to see the vanity of earth more and more. And then in fact, just last night or so, just thinking about this, and I realized, no, it's not just when you are growing older. Because I remember that when the Lord had mercy on me as a young believer, right at that time, the things of this world seem so shallow that you feel a pain. If this is all that I should live for, must I waste my youth chasing these, and that's all? I think it's painful to tears. there has to be something nobler. There has to be something higher than just money, than just buildings, than just cars. There has to be something nobler. And we thank the Lord there is. And that is the Savior himself and a spiritual life, communion with him, your life counting for him, stronger character. The Savior will build your character to be a stronger person, less and less selfish and proud and worldly minded. And he become a person, the Savior calls you a friend. He allows you into his joy. Can you imagine that? He tastes the joy, not supplied by material things, but simply because he is my Lord and my all. Friends, I have to finish. This is life. This is life as God designed it, where all the disadvantages I have in life no longer hurt terribly. They rather somehow, by the power of God, contribute to let me seek the Lord and know him and walk with him and love him. Would you miss this life, friends? If you miss this life, you missed it all. Nothing like it. Come, my dear friends, yield your life to him. Repent, turn to the Savior, call upon him to have mercy upon you. Trust in what he did on Calvary alone, that alone, and he would have mercy and change you and bless you. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we praise thee that in the Lord Jesus Christ, our dear Savior, there's surely a nobler and higher blessing and purpose for our lives, to find the Savior and to know him as our own Lord and Master, to have our lives under his rule and government, and to prove his power to change and wash us and allow us into his very joy. We adore thee for this kindness. Lord, we pray that every friend here this morning will be allowed to see these things and have understanding that we begin to truly seek thee and find thee and yield our lives to thee. And let our lives count for thine honor and name. O Lord, bless us. O Lord, look upon us, that we may never miss this life, the very best life we can know here on earth, and then after this life also in heaven. Help us and speak to our hearts, for we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.